Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Need another big third down conversion. Meyer looking to throw. Fires deep down the left side for Blythe, and he has the catch. Tiptoeing the sidelines. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Todd Blythe, his fourth of the day.
Unbelievable.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Meyer to Blythe podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Todd Blythe, as always, with my friend Brett Meyer. Brett, how are we doing tonight?
What an intro.
I really wanted to change it up after Jared threw us a little shade on Twitter for always talking about doing something different in our intro and then never doing anything different. So
yeah, speaking of Twitter, are you having a good time on Twitter, you and your little friends, little bullies?
I enjoy Twitter. I think I'm better on Twitter. I'm funnier on Twitter than I'm in real life.
I don't have Twitter notifications. I just log on whatever periodically throughout the day, probably too much. But so I log in, I see I get the little blue circle above my bell or whatever as it shows me notifications. And I'm just like, I didn't tweet anything. So I'm not going to get any replies. I'm assuming that somebody's going to try to say something stupid. And all of a sudden I'm getting flamed because the Title IX podcast is doing the elections with Iowa State running mates. And of course, Todd thinks he's got to be funny.
So a little background on that for anyone. If you're not listening to the Title IX podcast with Stephanie, those girls crack me up. But so they had an election special episode last week, and they put together some running mates. We're up against George and Monte, which makes sense. I think one of our biggest challengers is going to be Coach Rhodes and the headset kid that had to follow him around on the sideline carrying the headset, which I thought was a great choice. They did not designate who was going to be the president or the VP candidates for me and Brett. Steph said she wanted us to fight that out on Twitter, which, I don't like the fact that we're already divided as a ticket. I think we need to stick together and save our fighting and our insults for when we get to the debate stage. But, so that was a – I didn't mean to come after you. Sometimes I get the same thing. If I get a Twitter notification, I immediately think, oh my God, what did Brett say? But yeah, that was a little fun. Just trying to have a little fun. Just, Twitter can be a dark place right now. So I'm just trying to lighten the mood and create some laughs. So Brett, I apologize for that. Ours is the party of unity. So we need to stick together on this.
First off, if we're going up against George and Monte or any of those guys, we're taking a massive L.
Oh yeah, we don't. Yeah. I mean, the best
those
thing
guys
to do
are
at
rock
this
stars.
Point is just to declare victory. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing to do. So we're just going to declare victory. I don't know if all the votes have been tallied. I don't know if any votes have been cast. But right here and now, Brett and I have declared victory. Brett, obviously, as I stated on Twitter, is the top of the ticket. He's the president. And I'll be his running mate at VP. So. All right, that's enough political talk. I get in trouble on Twitter. People tell me that they like our podcast, but they stop listening because apparently one of my political rants is what one guy said. I don't remember ever having
a Yeah, you're a ranter. Rant. You're political. Yeah. You're probably far left.
Yeah.
Right. Bernie sign in the yard.
I'm not far any direction, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so what else is going on? Halloween, what'd you and the girls do for Halloween?
We did not do a lot. We didn't obviously go trick or treating or do all that. They had a little party at their daycare, and Miss Olivia ran. This is her second back to back years with Sky, who is part of Paw Patrol. If you're familiar with Paw Patrol. Okay, you have a kid, you basically are.
I have a 3-year-old, yeah.
She came home one day and was like, Paw Patrol. I'm like, what is that? Peppa Pig. I'm like, never heard of him, but okay, let's check it out. So she was Sky, and then Violet was a she was a ladybug, and then she was Elmo. So we did two. They did at school, they dressed up, and then we live in a cul-de-sac, and one of the other families has young kids, and we just kind of made bags and treats for them and took them to their house, and then we ran home and they came to our house and rang the doorbell. But it was like, the weather was nice. It's been what like 60s and 70s here, so.
What did you dress up at?
I the costume was beyond me, but I do know that one year my mom, I don't know if I told you this, like the costumes that we used to dress up as were so bad.
I've seen
like,
a couple costumes.
So like we dressed up one year. One year for Halloween growing up, I was a Hershey's Kiss.
A little problematic maybe these days.
Nah, man, it was fine. And she put like tinfoil on my head. I can't even say without laugh. Tinfoil was in a trash bag around like my body. That was a
kiss. I remember the picture. I don't know if this is never mind. I'm not even going to go there. The other picture.
Oh, my sister put a dress on me or something?
Yeah, I didn't know if that was for Halloween or if you were just. You were a very pretty little girl.
That wasn't even me, man. I was my wasn't even me.
I think growing up, I think I was probably Batman 4 or 5 years in a row. You remember in college when I got a Batman costume? I just remember I wore it into your room in our apartment. And you're like, you have to go to the bars like that. I was like, nope, can't do it. But
I think we ever dressed up in Batman college. But...
No, we're lame. We did have a conversation. I remember this one time too. You were going to dress up as me and wear like my jersey. And I was going to go as you. Again, problematic. Probably couldn't do that these days.
Were you going to do like blackface or something?
I don't know.
That was probably acceptable.
I hope not.
You did a blackface this year? Is that what you said? Canceled. Done.
God, don't put that out there. But yeah, we did Halloween as well. My son was, he's big into the superheroes right now. Doesn't really matter what superhero. He was Flash for Halloween, so he had a Flash costume and he just would tear around and sprint around everywhere. We are going to have to sit down and have a very serious conversation one of these days though about the difference between Marvel superheroes and DC superheroes. He wants Iron Man and Batman to be on the same team. That just can't be done. So for any other comic book nerds out there, you guys understand what I'm talking about.
I would have made the same mistake. I don't even know who Flash is. I haven't seen the Flash movie. The only ones I've seen is like the Marvel Avengers and Iron Man and obviously Black Panther.
Why do you say obviously?
I don't know. I just felt like every black person went and saw it.
For sure. But we actually did go trick-or-treating. We went back to our old neighborhood. He's got a few friends in that old neighborhood that we went and saw. There's one guy a couple houses down from our old house that always does like this amazing nacho and hot dog bar instead of handing out candy. And then also has a cooler full of beers for our parents. So
yeah, let's go through a buffet line. That sounds like a great idea. Awesome. Did you guys do like shareable plates and dinners too with everybody?
They're disposable plates. So yeah, looking back, I guess the buffet line probably didn't make a lot of sense, but it was outside, you know, so everybody was spaced out.
It was outside. Do whatever you want outside.
He was serving beers. Alcohol kills COVID. Everyone knows that.
Todd, you need to quarantine. Seriously.
I'm in my basement right now. So this is.
Oh, okay. Stay down there for an hour and you're good.
I'm quarantined. Yeah. That's how that. Well, the election's over. Isn't COVID going away now? I've heard that today. Okay. Sorry. I should.
Actually, the wild thing is like COVID related, like we're way worse in terms of like the number of cases. Now there is the caveat of like, we kind of know how to live with it somewhat now, but like we're definitely in terms of total cases a lot worse than we were when everything shut down. But I'm not an advocate for shutting everything down because people got to eat and people got to make money and businesses got to run. But yeah, it's just no good answer, which has kind of been the theme throughout all of it. But it just, yeah, it's definitely that whatever kind of surge or rush you want to call it is definitely here. And we've seen it now. I saw something locally for you in the state of Iowa, like the Valley Dowling game was canceled.
Yeah, that's too bad. Anybody around here knows that Valley Dowling is kind of the matchup in Iowa high school football. And they were going to play tomorrow night Friday night. It was going to be on TV, a playoff game, so that would have been really cool to watch on TV. But unfortunately, Valley had to forfeit the game because of multiple COVID outbreaks. So I'm sure Gary Swenson, their head coach, is not happy. Probably wants to kill everybody. But Brett, you heard a rumor as to
I heard a little birdie from a fellow coach in that I don't know. I heard a birdie from some people locally in Des Moines that there may have been a bit of a party with some I don't know how many kids were there, but if that's the case, I mean, you can't fix stupid. I mean, that is, I understand you're in high school and you want to have fun, and we probably would have made some poor decisions in our time, and but like, there's easy decisions and there's ones that are like, oh, you know, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, say, it's too bad, too, like, I'm sure those, I'm just thinking, like, those kids, they probably tried to do the right thing for most of the season. You know, I mean, to get to this point, they were doing the right thing and staying away from that. And then all of a sudden they get this to this far. Point in the season where they're
Who knows? They probably could have been having parties and, hey, nobody's, you know, we haven't got it yet. And all of a sudden, you know, all it takes is this, so. But yeah,
when you're 17, you're invincible.
Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunate, but you know, Dowling's just all right. We'll see in the next rounds. So who knows? But I mean, you're seeing it all over the place. I mean, obviously, our opponent this week in Baylor, you've seen it with the, you know, the probably the highest profile college football player in Trevor Lawrence, who's out now for the second straight week. He's out versus Notre Dame, and I mean, who knows if it'll even make a difference? They've got their backups.
You're seeing it all over the Big Ten. I mean, it's everywhere in college.
Yeah,
football.
I mean, Pac-12. Cal is supposed to play Washington this week, and they, you know, they have, much like the Big Ten, a very slim margin of error because they've waited so long. They wasted a bunch of time from when they decided to play to when they started playing, much like the Big Ten. So now you have no bye weeks. You have no time. And there was – Cal had one player test positive, no other positives, and they had a few other players that were, you know, contact traced and in quarantine, and the game is, you know, canceled because the Pac-12 has – and the state of California has very stringent and tight rules. And it's like, you know, the 49ers in the NFL have had, you know, a rash of positives, and, you know, they're on TV right now. So it's just interesting
they're
to see.
They're playing it right now.
Yeah, the difference is. And, I get it. You want to have, you know, policies, procedures, and rules in place. But I think you have to be somewhat realistic in that, you know, like Wisconsin, what are they going to do? How is they're going to play two less games than everyone else? And who knows if they've gotten that under control. But yeah, I mean, it's a mess.
You're trying to determine a conference champion. I mean, that's tough when all of a sudden some teams play eight games, some teams play six. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, it's great to have sports back. I think we've already probably got to the point where we're taking them for granted, but I just, you know, was like, man, what did we do? We didn't have any games. Cause now there's just been from NBA playoffs to, you know, the World Series to everything that's going on in golf. Masters is next week. We've had obviously football, and like, everything was right there. I mean, college basketball starting up soon. But who knows though? It's going to be so hard for teams to travel. There's already been a bunch of teams that have canceled because they're supposed to go play in maybe a tournament in like South Dakota or somewhere. And it was the state was like, yeah, you can't travel there. That's one of the worst spots in the country. Yeah. And so they, you know, who knows how many games are going to be canceled. And so Iowa State today is going to allow like 1,300 or something fans into Hilton.
Yeah. Like 10%
for the game.
Something like that. I thought
I mean, that's, I think capacity is just under 14,000. So whatever 10% of that is, but I mean, that's tough. Cause Hilton is like, I mean, one of the most electric places in all of college basketball.
That's,
I mean,
yeah,
we've all been
a home quarter.
Yeah. We've been there when it's, you know, when it is legitimately like one of the best places in all of sports, like if it's a big game or that place. Yeah. So that's just another casualty, but it's good that we're playing, and hopefully we'll Coach Prohm gets them rolling. We have a little bit better result than we have the last couple of years, but
I did see a game this weekend that got canceled. I assume because of COVID, and it was rescheduled. Apparently, whatever conference it was, they had very strict quarantine rules, and because the game has been rescheduled for 2029. So, you know, they put it off. They decided to put it off 9 years to make sure that everyone was quarantined long enough for the COVID to run its course, which I thought was interesting. Tom, speaking of, you know, we talked about – yeah, I don't remember the teams, but it was – I saw that somebody was cracking a joke on Twitter, which is, again, where I get all my news. But they rescheduled for 2029. So, yeah, just to make sure that COVID was good and gone.
Give yourself
time. We'll probably still be wearing masks in 2029, but this might be the new normal.
Who knows, man? I got some
comfortable
masks.
You want to talk KU a little bit?
Yeah.
What'd you think of KU last week?
I mean, it was one of those games where you knew coming in that – So you're going to play a team that is, you know, that is just bad and getting worse as the year goes on. And I mean, let's just go in and take care of business and get out. And we kind of opened it up in the second half. Obviously, Breece Hall did what he does, and he's got over 90. He's got like 906 yards on the year. I mean, he's going to have 1,000 yards, and, you know, and probably – I don't know if anybody else is close to that or where he ranks. Yeah, I think he's number two in the country in rushing right now.
He's leading the nation in yards and second in rushing touchdowns with 11. I think he's got 901 yards and 11 TDs right now through – what, six games, seven games? I don't even know how many we played now. Either way, that's it's pretty good, pretty solid. Six games, I guess. Yeah, KU's bad. I mean, we knew that going in. Their best player had called it a season a couple weeks or a couple maybe
Puka.
A week before the game. Yeah, Puka Williams went back home to be with his some family. I think his mom is sick. They're terrible. One thing I think stuck out to me, and I know it stuck out to a lot of people again, was, again, special teams issues. I didn't see it. Full disclosure, I didn't watch the first half. It was the opening day of pheasant hunting season, so I was out shooting at birds. If anybody
– Hold on. When did you pick up hunting?
When I married my wife.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see how much you know.
Families.
I know.
For you to quiz me, you have to know something.
No, I don't. So I'm going to see how easy it rolls off the tongue. What kind of gun do you have?
I have a Benelli shotgun.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know anything. A Benelli shotgun. No details. No. What's it got? Come on. I want to hear all the specs.
It's a 12 gauge. It's got a duct plug in it, so it holds three shells. I use two and three quarter inch five shot shells.
Listen, what is a duct plug?
Because you only have three shells in at a time for duck hunting. You can take it out and it would hold five, but I keep it in just because you never need more than three shots anyway.
Okay, did you shoot anything?
I used two and three quarter inch fives. No, I was just going to say, for any PETA listeners out there, I decided to leave all the pheasants alone this past weekend.
I
didn't even come close. Didn't touch a feather. So it was you know, I haven't shot since last year's pheasant season, so I was a little just knocking the rust off.
My gun
was malfunctioning, I think. Need to get it checked.
Where do you hunt?
We're up in Algona. So where Britt's dad was born and raised, they have a bunch of land up there that is private ground that we can go hunt. So saw a ton of birds.
Think maybe I can get out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Get a hunting license because we follow the law. Yeah, come out. That'd be a blast. I would love to get you out there. Get like you and Mylan out there.
There's no way I'm getting within anywhere of Mylan with a gun.
Forget that.
I wouldn't even get within you with a gun. You don't have enough experience. No. You are not. I know you're a gun owner, but nope. Nope.
I've been going hunting for the past.
What do you have to do to get a firearm in Iowa?
To get to go hunting or to like go purchase.
I want to get it. I'm about to get a Glock or something. I'm not, but if I, you
have
to go,
they'd have to run your ID and do an FBI background check, which you'd come back fine. So
what's the fuss about background checks if they already do them?
Because they're not very extensive. Like for me now with a concealed carry permit, I can go in and buy a gun. The last time I bought a gun, and this was a few years ago now, that I didn't even have to, there's no waiting involved. I showed them that I had a concealed carry permit. I walked in and walked out like 10 minutes later with
a
gun.
So, well, I mean, yeah, if you have your permit, like what's,
because you get your permit and it's good for 5 years. So a lot can change in the span of 5 years. People can have complete mental breakdowns.
You've had like seven felonies in a 5 year stretch.
Into political
we're talking guns and firearms. I just want to hear more about your pheasant hunting. Cause I would love to watch that. Just the comedy of errors.
I'm very smart and, I'm a very smart gun owner. I'm a very bad shot when it comes to hunting. It's fun. I enjoy walking around.
Okay. You've hunted
nature walk than anything else.
Have you hunted deer and,
no, pheasant's the only thing I've done.
And have you actually killed a pheasant?
Yeah, I've killed dozens of pheasants in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Okay, so what do you do with them?
Four times a year.
Do you like
breast them? That's all we do is just take the breast.
Do you know what? You know what's funny though is like one of my favorite shows to watch and like favorite people, like personalities, is like Ranella, like Steven Ranella. You know who that is? He does like the meat eater stuff. Yeah, you got to check it out, because I don't know why. One day I was just watching. I'd never hunt. I never will hunt. But he's like, he's really smart. He's like, obviously hunted his whole life and built like his business off of that.
How much is your yearly PETA dues?
What are you talking? Wait, what? I don't think I do that. But no, he. But like, look it up. It's called Meat Eater. It's called Meat Eater on Netflix. And dude, like, he has his crew, and he just goes out in like these wild, crazy hunts, like in Alaska and all over the world, really. And like, I initially started watching it because like I like watching. This is weird, but like, just like the chef shows and cooking and all that stuff. And he like really is like a legit, like.
That is weird, because you're a terrible cook.
No, I promise you. You come to my house. I made some spaghetti tonight. Come on.
Spaghetti? So you want spaghetti?
Yes, like the sauce has to be right.
Brown some hamburger, throw some sauce in, and boil some noodles.
Boil some noodles? No, the sauce has got to be right. I'm making bootleg.
Listen, you better come with a better dish than spaghetti.
No, like I promise you,
spaghetti and I suck.
No, yeah, you have to make a good sauce. And in addition to that, I know you're terrible on the grill. I throw down on the grill. It's not even fair. You know who can't grill is Milan Moses, our boy Milan. I went over to his house one time. I went over to his house one time because he likes a well done steak. Like we were at a nice restaurant in Kansas City one time, and we were out with one of his docs, and. First off, the doc like bought. He was. I think he just got like a black card or something because he kills it. And so he was kind of showing off a little bit. Whatever. He was a nice guy. And he was like, he bought like the Louis 13 shots. Or like they were like $500 a piece. And you're supposed to like sip on them. Milan just pounds it. Takes it. We don't obviously buy stuff like that. So it was funny. But then he's like, you got a steak. He's like, well done with ketchup. And the guy was like, because you know some restaurants won't make it like that.
Yeah.
And so I think he ended up getting like, you know, he got like chicken strips or
I'm
something.
I'm shocked that I had ketchup in the building.
It was, yeah, but anyway, like
anyway,
I went to,
hey, stop trying to distract me.
I was at his house.
Stuff.
I'm gonna finish the story. KU. And he cooked his steaks, and they were just like so. I'm like, Milan, I'm not eating. It's so bad.
Just dry.
Yeah, and he's like, nah, man, I don't want no blood. I'm like, this is terrible. But yeah, so this is
all distraction.
No, you're a terrible hunter.
We're talking
about KU. I promise.
Hold on. Oh yeah,
hunter.
No, for sure. Okay. I enjoy it, but awful at it. Similar to golf. I really, really, really enjoy it. Bad at it. We were talking about KU. And then you tried to sidetrack me so that we couldn't talk about the fact that Brock Purdy threw another touchdown pass, tied your career.
You kind of flamed me on that one. You got me on that one. Like, I knew, okay, like, Purdy, I'm not the guy.
It wasn't, for anybody that saw the tweet, I said that Brock tied Brett's career touchdown pass record in half the games. It wasn't half the games. What was it? He's played in, what, 30-some? And you played in... 48, 50. Well,
I thought 21. You guys said 21.
Right.
No, he. I'm not that guy that's all like, man, anybody's better than me. Like Brock is a better quarterback than me. I'm not going to sit here and challenge his skill or his ability. And like, it's weird because I mean, you had a bunch of records. Like they kind of. It's something that you're like, oh, okay, but like you never think about it. It's like you don't, you know. It's just kind of there.
It's like when you first get out, it's kind of cool when you break the record. And then as time goes on, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of hope somebody breaks it because it means they're having success. I mean, and I can speak from experience since just about all of my records got torn off the board by Lazard and then Butler. So,
yeah. No, but
I appreciate your tweet though when you came out and said that you thought Hunter Deckers really looked good and should take the reins as the starting quarterback moving forward.
He does. I mean, he does throw a good ball. I'll give him that. He threw it. He put it out there nicely. Yeah,
for a lefty, you know, it spins backwards when it's a lefty. So
yeah, but no, it's. I mean, congrats to Brock. He's gonna have. He's gonna come back next year and just blow everyone out of the water. And just a testament to how good he is and how efficient and effective he's been. So kudos to him.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. Nice to see some big plays out of the receivers this week.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the lead up to the game last week. It was this is a game where you need to work some kinks out and have some position groups. Go out and gain some confidence because no matter who you're playing against, if you go out and you do it in a game, you're going to feel better about yourself. And then that'll give you just a little bit more confidence to, to know you've done it, and then it becomes kind of more reactionary, and you're not trying so hard, and you'll be able to do it against Baylor and you know, whoever we play the rest of the year. Because we're going to need that group more than anything, probably more than any group on our team. You talk about our defense, we're solid across the board, obviously. You know, offensive line has gotten better. We're running the ball. Brees is, you know, he's been, you know, probably
arguably the best back
in the country. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get the national attention. You know, maybe he's starting to more, but he's right up there. Obviously, you know, Brock's solid at tight end positions. It probably one of the best groups we have on the team. The receivers are really, you know, outside of special teams, kind of the only group that really needs to kind of get in gear and start producing a little bit more, and because they're just going to make us so much better, because teams are going to have to. You know, we got Brees averaging almost 7 yards a carry. I think he's at like 6.7, which mm-hmm. is ridiculous. And that's crazy. Almost 7 yards every time he touches the ball. Teams are going to have to start to play for that. And we're going to get a lot of man coverage and opportunities with, you know, single high safeties on the field. And those guys got to be able to separate and make plays. And they haven't done that consistently, but that doesn't mean they can't, you know, get there eventually. So hopefully we'll start to see more of it.
Yeah, I mean, Hutchinson, you know, showed some flashes and really played well. It was nice to see another receiver step up. Joe Skates had the long touchdown at the end of the game. Did you see his catch earlier in the game when he caught the ball, had the first down, juked three guys and lost 4 yards? I got asked about that by Heather and Emery doing the post-game show, what I thought about it. I kind of had two thoughts about that. One, kind of a bonehead play. I mean, get the ball and you know, get the first down. The second, what are you doing over there? The second thing I thought about that was I can't really relate, because he made like three guys miss in the process. So if he lost yards, but he made guys miss, I never had the ability to make anyone miss. So for me, I knew that it was a catch the ball, knee dirt situation. So it was not a great play on his part, but it was nice to see some receivers step up and make plays, as opposed to the past where it's like Hutchinson, three tight ends, two running backs catch balls, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we need them. We need them big time. And I think they'll start to play better, because, again, doesn't matter who you're playing against. You, we know from experience, when you start to get confidence and you start to see it, it just kind of, you know, it snowballs and you really start to play better. So hopefully we'll continue to see that. Now, Baylor, I mean, they have had a ton of issues with COVID related, obviously, there.
What was the article you read? Games. Dozens of
I mean, okay, that means at least 20, you know, something. So, I mean, yeah, they
played
two
four
games
is all.
So. Yeah, I mean, they've had two games that got canceled, and you know, hopefully, you don't have to worry about, you know, when you play a team like this, and then, you know, a week or two down the road, we're starting to get a bunch of positives, but. You have to feel confident that, you know, they can't take the field. We got trusted testing that, you know, nobody's on the field or in and around the field that's positive. But, I mean, we're a 13.5-point favorite. So, you know, this is a team with first-year coach Dave Arnotta taking over. And Matt Rhule really came in and kind of turned that program around. And one of the really the more impressive, you know, rebuild jobs that we've seen. And they've got a lot of good players. I mean, Charlie Brewer's been a good quarterback. He's struggling this year. His stats are pretty pedestrian. I mean, he's averaging just over 208 yards a game, rushing the ball for fewer than 100 yards a game as an offense, scoring 26, giving up 25 a game. So, yeah, I mean, this is a team
Brewer started 34 games in his
career. Yeah, he's experienced, so
he's,
for sure.
You know, he knows what he's doing back there. He's
yeah, but, it. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is a team that we would think, as they start to get more games under their belt – with a first-year head coach, without spring ball, limited fall camp, and now they're really probably just starting to get comfortable with. Because I know Dave Arnotta is a good coach. He's, you know, was really successful at Wisconsin. Obviously, what he did last year at LSU, and now obviously at Baylor, a team that again had, you know, has some good players and has guys who have been under Matt Rhule, and that's a, he's you know very disciplined, and they're going to have run good schemes, and so. It's going to be a tough physical team, but this is a game that, you know, we should win. And I look for us to, I mean, the only wild card for us is on special teams, right? Our kick coverage, whether it's punt or kickoff, we saw another one get loose on us at Kansas. And
that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating. And, you know, our kicker isn't exactly on the, on the most solid ground right now is, you know, we're kind of that point where you're watching extra points a little bit harder than you would have in the past, because we've missed a couple and missed a couple kicks here and there. So hopefully, you know, Connor gets his confidence back, because you know, that's an important part of the game, obviously, that we need, you know, in order to compete. But now, you know, with Oklahoma State losing, we are back and, you know, we control our own destiny. We went out. We're going to be, you know, have an opportunity to play for a Big 12 championship, which is a sore subject for both of us, because we've been there in 04 and 05. But, you know, I think this is a different team with a different mindset, and hopefully they'll be able to kind of keep it, you know, keep it in the kind of the cliche of one game at a time mindset, and just take care of what's in front of them that week.
Yeah, I think there's another one of those games where we're clearly the better team. You know, when we get out on defense, their offense has been struggling. Their O-line is giving up 3.5 sacks per game right now. You know, with Bailey and McDonald coming off the edges, 1-2 in the Big 12 in sacks, hopefully we can rack up some more of those. I think there's going to be another game where keep the receivers, you know, continue to add them into the game plan a little bit more. It's another get-right game. I mean, this is another game where we should go out and win by, you know, multiple scores. This shouldn't be a real close game. So another confidence builder of a game. I think Brock goes out, does what he's supposed to do, distribute the ball to, you know, 6, 7, 8 different guys. Brees goes out and runs for 130 and 2 TDs, and we win comfortably, you know, 31-13, somewhere in that range. I'd be very happy. If this is a nail-biter, it means that we're doing something that we shouldn't have. It's, you know, they're going to have speed on special teams. Their returners are going to be fast. Baylor always has speed. That's the one thing that scares me a little bit in this game. As long as we're sound in special teams, I don't see this game being too big of a hurdle for us. But of course, you know, crazier things have happened. We almost got beat by Drake a couple of years ago.
You know why we almost lost to Drake? Because the field was sloppy.
Oh, and that
was
the equalizer. As soon as
if we had field turf, we'd blow them out. And the field was the equalizer. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. All right. I don't even want to get into that. Our field is pristine. It's in fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Game. No, it does look pretty dang good. I give him that.
Once again, Brett hates our.
No, I've never been down on our grass field. I just think that there's a better option.
All superintendents that work on golf courses, Brett's the guy who chews it up and doesn't replace his divots. He just, anybody that works on grass, he doesn't care for.
I replace my divots.
Me too. When I chunk the hell out of the ball. My divot starts 2 inches behind the ball.
Okay. You take so many more cuts at it than I do, so
I get my money's worth. my price per swing is a lot lower than yours. All right. Then we've been making fun of me a lot today.
It just naturally comes in conversation.
My bad hunting skills. Again, very safe, responsible gun owner, just not very good at shooting what I'm aiming at.
Oh, that makes you feel real good. I'm a safe, responsible gun owner. I'm just not good shooting them.
Well, I only shoot at birds. If you're not a pheasant, you're fine.
Why don't you go deer hunting? You get a bigger target. Get that big old scope out there.
Yeah, but you don't shoot like bird shot, scatter shot, shotgun shells.
Oh, I never thought of that. I don't know.
I'm definitely not going bow hunting.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like the most tedious thing that I never bow.
And also, like deer hunting, to go sit in a stand like all day long and freeze your balls off and hope something will walk by close. Like, no thanks. At least in pheasant hunting.
No, man. Stephen Rennell, the meat eater, man. They'll shoot the things from like 300 yards away on the side of a mountain in Canada somewhere and just like lean down on their bag and they're whispering, okay, so. And they just. Boom! They go down and they go. They show them like cutting them open and like, oh, they eat everything. Those guys don't waste anything.
I'm having a great time picturing you getting up early, like on Saturday morning, turning on like Fox Sports Midwest and watching all the hunting and fishing shows that come on early in the morning.
No, I only watch. That's the only one I've ever gotten into, and it's pretty good. It's I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the pursuit, like the, you know, they always build it up of like showing like. You know, the hunt, and they get there and they set up camp and then they like glass. You know what glassing is? You know, I know what glassing is, man.
No.
Yeah. You sit down on like the side of the mountain and you just glass. You're looking out into this empty, whatever, glass. Like the mountainside. You're looking, looking for whatever you're hunting.
I'm going to start trying to implement the phrase glassing into just every day, glassing. Like vernacular.
Yeah, man. That's they awesome. Hunt everything. I, they, it's, It's a cool show to watch. I like the cooking ones, and then, but obviously the hunting ones are good too. Cause
yeah, hey, I'll check it out for sure.
Well, your sorry ass needs to learn how to do something. Maybe you can learn from him. Can we say that on here? Sorry.
Brett just swore. In case my mom's listening.
Tear it. No, whatever.
If anybody didn't hear our episode a couple of weeks ago, my mom yelled at me for swearing.
No, your mom does not support you being a gun owner. Send down. I'm trying to discourage him from being a gun owner.
Okay. I've had enough of this. But we're going to keep this one short. So,
okay. Cyclones. Hey, wait a minute. Did you watch Iowa?
I'm so glad. Can't believe I forgot to even mention that. God, what's going on over in Iowa City?
I mean, I don't know. New quarterback. He seems to try. He's still trying to figure it out. He's young. And I mean, who knows? There's probably a lot of things at play. They had a long, much
there
longer.
There are a lot of things in play.
Yeah, much longer offseason than everybody else did. And yeah.
Just kidding.
What did you say?
I said they do have a lot of things going on. Their coaching staff is racist.
You said that, not me. But
just kidding. I respect Kirk Ferentz a lot. Obviously, there's some issues in the program, blah, blah, blah.
A couple of my neighbors across, like, they live in the other cul-de-sac. They're from Des Moines. They're big Iowa fans. And I was like, I don't know if you heard me, but I was walking. You know how I do like thing? Go I-O-W.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I go I-O-2-W. Just like messing with it. Because I do like the I-O-W. I spell it out.
Flynn in college?
He always gives me a hard time. So
Flynn in college, if anybody knows Austin Flynn, he's a little bit of a cowboy. He's a little rough around the edges sometimes. In college, if we ever saw somebody like in a bar or anywhere that had a Hawk hat on, so if anyone's been to an Iowa Hawkeye game, there's always a guy like – sometimes the band, but there's a guy that just goes in the crowd and has a trumpet or something, and they play the na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and everyone yells, go Hawks! Well, in college, if Flynn saw anybody in a bar like in Ames that had a Hawkeye hat on, he'd just yell, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. We'd yell, go Hawks! He'd just knock the guy's hat off. So Flynn anytime I think about any Iowa Hawk chants – that's the first thing I think of is Flynn just knocking off random people's Hawk hats and bars. Again, young and dumb, Cowboy Flynn looking to pick fights. Okay, on that note, we should probably wrap. I don't have anything else to say about Iowa other than the fact that it's a real shame that they're 0-2. Although, I take that back. I do want to say this. So the Iowa Hawkeyes, they're up 17-0, and they throw the ball 50 times.
Yeah, that's
the brand-new quarterback. What is going on? It's not like they were down too much and they had to start throwing the ball. They lost 21-20.
Yeah, that's a sign of an OC probably losing the kind of the flow and the cadence of the game. So, I mean, seriously, like you just
– Things were moving quickly for the OC.
I mean, it's not like I was probably good on defense like they always are. I don't know much about their team this year, but I'm sure they're probably pretty good on defense because they are every single year. So,
but they have a couple of studs at running back. They have two or three really good running backs.
Yeah, that Goodson kid's really good. The Georgia kid, number 15, he's nice. Yeah. He's really good.
Who's the other kid, Sargent?
Yeah, didn't one of their receivers get an OWI? Did he not play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, their best receiver, Amir Smith-Marset, got clocked going 75 and like a 35. I had this conversation with somebody else. You know, when Iowa starts the year 0-2 and crazy things start happening, guys start making bad decisions. And, you know, Iowa State, we've gone 0 for entire seasons. And, you know, for the most part, the guys know how to stay on track. So that's, you know, that's one thing we got going for us in Ames.
We know how to lose better? That's not something you want.
No, I'm not saying it's good, but, yeah, we know how to lose better. We got more experience. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, so I know they play this week, but 0-3 would not be a good look. Oh, well, we don't have to worry about that.
I would love that.
We don't have to worry about it.
They play Michigan State.
Oh, I don't even know if they're any good, but
Michigan State beat Michigan last week. Is there a bigger fraud in America than Michigan Wolverines every year? Every preseason, Jim Harbaugh's coach of the year, and they're a national title contender, and then they come out and they just suck, you know, halfway through the season.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's the program much like – and they're better, but like, you know, the Nebraskas and the Michigans and Texas who were really, really good, obviously, and Texas probably the most recent when they won in 05 and were there again a couple years later. But they, yeah, I mean, they're just the landscape has changed and recruiting is not what it once was. You're not able to, you know, dive into those places and just go pick out who you want. And you got administration and fans and boosters and people who just can't stay out of the way. And, you know, Harbaugh, he might just want to go back to the NFL. I mean, he's probably tired of it, and he's obviously got them to a place where they weren't previous to him being there since Lloyd Carr was there. But they're
winning. Yeah, but 10, I think everyone is
8, 9, 10 games.
Next,
yeah, I mean, they want to win the national championship. But the bottom line is, there's probably a handful of teams. Maybe not even that. There's Alabama, Ohio State, probably Georgia. I mean, those three teams are going to be the. Yeah, and sorry, Clemson, obviously, but the rosters are just like. I mean, you look at the number of like 4 and 5 star guys they have, and they develop.
Usually,
them
Oklahoma's
coach them.
In that conversation.
Yeah, Oklahoma's. Yeah, Oklahoma's probably in the second tier of that conversation. But I mean, those schools are the most consistent, and their rosters are just head and shoulders above what Michigan and I mean Texas is getting good players, but they're terrible at developing them. I mean, if you look at the where they recruit versus how many guys are drafted, I mean they're just. I know Urban Meyer's made this point a bunch about developing players, and they're just not doing it. And I don't know. I know we're kind of on a tangent, but, yeah, Michigan is probably a little bit fraudulent because they just – but a big part of it is just the coverage. They get consistent coverage all the time, and they're one of the blue blood programs and winningest programs. And, yeah, we're going to talk about them even if they're not in contention because there's eyes on them. So.
Yeah. I still think they're frauds, but
okay. That's a long way of me saying yes, they're fraudulent.
Okay. It's just a more eloquent way of saying that, yeah, they're frauds.
Yeah. You dumb just redneck
more,
hunter. That's
you're
all
just
you
more
are.
Politically correct than me.
Well, I know. You got your. Well, are you hunting tomorrow too? Pheasants?
No. It's Friday. I have to work.
Why are you laughing, Todd?
No, I don't have plans to hunt anytime soon. I probably hunt, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 times if I'm lucky a year. So that's why I don't get any good. Yeah. Unlike golf, where I play all the time but still suck.
You got to find a hobby that you're good at, so we got to figure this out.
I don't know. I don't play, like, video games, although I used to absolutely dominate you when we played in college.
Call of Duty.
Don't shake your head. Okay, Call of Duty was the
power ranking was Flynn was the best. JD was second. And then me and you were close.
JD was second.
JD was better.
The only thing JD could do was throw grenades over buildings.
And JD was better than you.
JD never shot anyone. He just lobbed grenades around the map.
Much better. No, JD was better than you. But anyway. All right, let's wrap
this. If we're doing that, then Mylan was better than you.
No. We would seek Mylan out all the time.
Yeah, you want to rack up kills. Okay, now we're talking about college and Call of Duty days. Let's wrap it. 31-13 is my prediction. Iowa State over Baylor.
Nope, 28-17. You're wrong. 28-17 Cyclones.
Hey, Brett, we need to come together a lot more if we're going to win this presidential race.
No, take the points. 28-17. You'll make money. We're going to win by 11. We're favored by 13.
That's all I got. See everybody next week. Go Clones.
All right. Peace.